Blog Talk Radio. Welcome, welcome everybody to the Abba's Tiny House Village. We are live tonight in Orlando, Florida, where it's rain, nothing but rain. I love the rain. And there's a beautiful song that goes, thank you for sunshine, thank you for rain, thank you for joy, thank you for pain. It's a beautiful day, yay, yay, yay. It's a beautiful day and night. All right. So we are live now in the Blog Talk Radio studio, and I am going to introduce you to Blog Talk Studio now with our very fabulous video of our worldwide greeting. You're going to love it. You're going to love it. Here we go. We're going around the world. Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing, share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone. Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Asan Wasasan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadet. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, Palestine, and Saudi Arabia. Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all. Join us live on the on-air radio network. Call 727-731-5192. We want to talk to you.
Yes, indeed. We want to talk to you. So that's why we're here every Sunday night, 8 to 10, on Soul Purpose Healing. I'm Viata, your host. I have a fabulous guest tonight. My guest has so much experience. I want you to call in and ask him some questions because he's got a lot of knowledge up here and a lot of experience. And we're going to talk about international affairs, something many people don't even think about. So join us tonight. I don't know why Facebook is reminding me about something when I couldn't even get in on Facebook. Anyway, we're back. So thank you so much for being here tonight. And we're going to drum in with Becca Shea. My guest has not arrived yet. So let's do some drumming. I was listening to some fabulous drumming earlier. Brother Eric was invited me to a blog talk show. And all they were doing was drumming for probably about an hour. It's like a three-hour show. So it was amazing. But we do that, too, here on Soul Purpose Healing. So let's get your drums, and let's drum in with Becca Shea. Becca Shea is a Christian artist, but she has a Native American energy and a Native American flair to her music. And she talks about unity, unity, unity. So let's drum in some unity for tonight with Becca Shea.
And hey, let us ransom people for all time. From every tribe and language, people, every nation. Where warriors have fallen, there's a resurrection coming.
Lift your
eyes
and rise and shine.
Oh, wake up, you sleeping giant. The home of injustice, I'll be
joy, peace, love, forgiveness, harmony, yes. Unity, love, joy, peace, harmony, yes. Forgiveness. All right. Ooh. All right, we're here on this February 18th, which comes to one. It's a one for unity. 2/18/2024 equals a one. I think I got those numbers right tonight, Mama AZ. So we are here rolling around on the number one tonight, and we're going to talk a lot about international affairs tonight. And I have invited a very special guest. I'm so grateful that Rabbi Cohen is joining me tonight. Let me just tell you a little bit about Rabbi Cohen, Dr. Shalomim Halahawi. I think I got that right. He is an integrative physician. He's a Hebrew Rapha. He's a medical inventor and an author. This is a busy, busy young man. So let me see if he's in the studio. I do. I see him in the studio. So let me bring him in. I don't want to delay because this is probably going to be a long conversation. Good evening. Shalom, shalom, Dr. Rabbi. And who is this beautiful sister with you?
Shalom, shalom. This is my beautiful wife, Shomer Halewi.
Shomer Halewi, beautiful. How are you tonight?
Doing well.
You're
doing good.
Great. It is raining, still raining. I think when I talked to you, I was talking about it's raining, it's still raining. I love it.
Nice and sunny today.
Really I don't know if you've heard this song on YouTube. This little African boy is singing, thank you for sunshine, thank you for rain, thank you for joy, thank you for pain. It's a beautiful day, yay, yay, yay. And my seven-year-old grandson introduced me to that song. And I play it and play it, and I tried to play it for them. They're like, oh, that's enough, Grandma, that's enough. We've heard it enough times. But I wake up singing that song because the rain, we need the rain and we need the sun and we need all this pain, even the pain. I've had one person who heard that, and that line about thank you for pain really got him.
Absolutely.
That's kind of hard to sing about, right?
Right. Yeah,
yes. So thank you so much for joining me. We've been trying to get you on here for a little bit, a couple of weeks. But as I was, you know, I said it's been a year, almost exactly a year that you were on.
I didn't realize it was that long.
I'm telling you.
So much going on.
It is going by, whoops, low, so fast. And look at what has happened in 1 year.
Absolutely.
Are we in class big time? This is boot camp, serious boot camp here on Earth.
Really, really, absolutely.
I'm trying to keep a sense of humor. I watch YouTube all the time because I'm in my late 60s, and every day I want to learn something new. I know about you, doctor, but I'm learning something new every day, and YouTube to me is the best place to learn. I just type in, I don't know about this. Let me see about this. So yeah. I've learned so much about that little place called Yisrael. It just blows my mind. And I went to Israel about 10, 15 years ago. My ex-husband was working there for Delta Airlines. And he was in a 4-star hotel. And for 2 weeks, I'm like, I need to go to Israel now while I can. So I had a free trip to Israel, walked along the Mediterranean. It was surreal. It was surreal. Because I was a Hebrew Israelite at the time, so I was learning a lot of the language, and I just wanted to see the place. So I'm excited to have you share with our guests tonight your knowledge and experience, because it's rare that a man of dark skin, melanin man, has so much experience in that little bitty place called Yisrael. And there's a lot of people who are so ignorant about that place. And yet we want to bring out tonight the significance of knowing what is going, the hell is going on over there. Because it is significant.
Absolutely.
So
Go ahead.
No, Rabbi Cohen, I'm going to give the mic to you. If you would share with our guests, some of them don't know you. If you could just share a little bit about your family, because your family was born over there. So tell us about your family, your childhood, a little bit about that.
Okay. Well, first of all, one of the reasons why I come especially you aware and has many people from different cultures and everything, it's unique in who I am, my background and everything, because I decided to take a different approach with life than the Ethiopian and Mizrahi Jewish communities. Most Ethiopian and Mizrahi rabbis usually just cater only to their own people, and, you know, they stay in the background. So you don't usually see, I mean, it's a bunch of Ethiopian Jewish rabbis, and it's actually more priests than it is rabbis, because the Kess, also known as, which is the Kohen, and the Rabbi Kohen, which is the Aaronic or high priest, they've always been the leaders of the Mizrahi and Beta Israel.
Oh, really?
Long before Israel was ever established and everything, for the past 2,000 years, Ethiopian Jews have always been led by the Levitical priest, the Kess, we call him Kess. So I just took a different approach. I was always a little rebel growing up anyways, and my elders thought it was just a bad idea and everything, because I wanted to go and I wanted to talk to the Hebrew Israelites. They were like, absolutely not. I wanted to go and interact with the Christians. They're like, be careful. And then I started wanting to, you know, venture out and talk to Palestinians and everything, because I have Arab ancestry as well. There's Arabs in our family from Oman, Southwest Arabia, and everything. But my family, both of my family, because I have Jewish ancestry on both sides, or ethnic Jewish ancestry, and it'll be explained why I'm saying ethnic Jewish ancestry. My great grandfather was a child. Great aunt, great uncle, Carmela, and Yohanan, and my brother. I'm sorry, my grandfather Joseph. We're all children when they actually had to flee Palestine in 1885 to come here on Absalom. But some of my family stayed back and everything, because my family actually is a Levitical priestly family that actually had basically like rulers in Palestine at the time. But the Ottoman frequently did slaughters. The Ottoman, they started a lot of, they committed genocide against the Armenians, and still want to be in denial about that. And they did genocide against the Syrians, and then they did genocide against the Jews as well. So basically, because Ottomans are not Arabs. They were Islamic, but they're not Arabs. But they oppressed Arabs, and they oppressed Jews and everything. And the Ottomans are responsible for collaborating with the Europeans to transport people of Middle Eastern ancestry, both Ishmaelite and Jewish, down to Central and South America, which is why we have such a large Sephardi and Mizrahi community down there. But some of my family stayed behind. So my family was there long before Israel came into existence, long before the Ashkenazim came and started to immigrate and everything, and mass and everything. We were there living side by side with with our Arab brothers and sisters, Palestinian brothers and sisters, and, you know, a lot of people don't realize that a lot of the Palestinians that are in Gaza are actually ethnic Jews who just converted to Islam and Christianity just a few hundred years ago. So the people you see being oppressed, the people you see being slaughtered just because they practice Islam, Islam does not equal Arab. A lot of evangelicals, a lot of white people, a lot of African Americans over here, they always have that mentality that somehow, you know, Islam equals Arab. So I remember when Iran had to check Americans because they kept calling them Arab, when Iranians are Persians, and they're also Urdu, and a lot of them are actually Chaldeans. So, you know, there's different ethnic groups over there and everything, and a lot of them actually have ethnic Jewish and ethnic Israelite ancestry from the northern tribes of Israel. People always say that there's lost tribes of Israel, and I laugh at it because I'm like, lost what? We've been around. You just don't know about us. And the West is ignorant about who we are, but we've always existed. And for the most part, I'm light-skinned in comparison to most of the ethnic Jews. Me and my wife, compared to ethnic Jews and everything, over in India or in Eastern Mesopotamia, Western Mesopotamia, and everything where you see, you know, we come in different shades and different colors and everything, but and Mizrahi and Ethiopian Jews, if you put them combined with the Yemenite and the Sephardi, we make up 85% of the total Israeli population and the total global Jewish population. The Ashkenazis only make up less than 15%. And out of that 15%, 60% of them genetically are not related to anything Semitic. They're converts. But the ones that are genetically related, you have to go back and act, and it's complex. What I'm saying today, I want everybody to take it with a grain of salt and a slight shot of vinegar and everything, because it's just not blanket and everything, because of all the complexities, the migration, the intermixture, the intermarriages, the cotton packs and everything. Just, you know, take this as a base to build off of, to study more and everything. Not as this is just solid and everything, but this is what I'm saying is factual. I'm going to try my best to do my, you know, try to outdo Putin and his history and everything.
Dory, I watched that whole 2-hour interview because I'm fascinated by history too, and that was amazing. I was really amazed, and so I hear you. That's funny, but yeah, I mean the man has a memory.
Go ahead.
The man has a memory.
Yeah, he's definitely sharp and everything. And I was saying, when I was watching, I was like, this man just upended me. He must be heard what I was planning on doing on this show, because I was planning on doing the exact same thing. But I love this thing. So before to get to this topic, you need to understand.
Well, let me ask you one thing. Let me clarify something. Because what I'm hearing you saying is your great grandfathers go back to 1885. They were born in the Middle East.
And left.
And they left and came to the U.S.
That's right, on Aslam.
So your parents were born in the United States?
That's correct.
Okay, so you're a second generation American.
Correct.
Yeah. But correct. How did you hear by word of mouth some of the history of that period, that land, or did you just study it on your own?
So my great grandparents taught me what they, you know, basically gave me the foundation of everything. When I was 4 or 5 years old, I knew about stuff that was going on in the Middle East in the 80s and everything. So I was always, you know, as I got older, I just studied more. Between the ages of 12 and 20, they would have to force me to go to bed, and that, because I'd be able to get up 3 o'clock in the morning doing research and studying.
So what did they insist on your education, as far as from a child, what were their thoughts, their beliefs about educating this young man, Rabbi Cohen?
They had always said that I was going to be the next priest that was going to lead everything. That's what they raised me and groomed me as a priest originally. Yes. And so when I was in elementary school, when I was in high school, I was amongst African Americans. And then I went to some school that was white American. I always stood out. Some teased me, some, you know, were indifferent to me, and some thought it was unique. But everybody always said, you're a preacher type guy. My kids, they don't know as much about me being Israelite. So they thought, you know, I came off as a preacher, basically.
I'm going to get my earplugs because I'm hearing a little static. I don't know if it's on my end or yours, but I'm going to get my put my earplugs on and see if that helps. Keep talking.
Okay,
keep talking about your education, if you will.
Oh, she want me to keep talking?
Yeah.
Oh, well, the education-wise, I graduated when I was 16 years old. I graduated in 11th grade from high school. After that, I started to go to college here. And ironically, I went to Oral Roberts University.
Really? That's a little twist there.
it was general education.
That's good, though. That's really good.
That's a whole other story in and of itself. I left there, and then I went went on to get work on my master's at the Institute of Rabbinical and Hebrew Studies in Jerusalem, Israel, to get my master's in Rabbinical Studies. After that, I went to the medical school, went to school in India, also got, in India, I got a doctor of integrative medicine. Then I went to Pakistan and extended that and got a, got further specialties in public health, family medicine, and primary care. And I came back here to the United States, and I went through additional medical education, continuing medical education, with specialties in gynecology, obstetrics, to do natural childbirth overseas, medical nutrition, behavioral medicine, and
okay. So you, and you have how many, do you have children? Wow, that's great. And let me just say a little, ask a little bit about how did you meet your wife? Okay, go ahead. Wow. Now, have you been back, how many times have you been back to the Middle East in the last, say, 10 years or so? For some reason. Putting on your
We've come to the end of our show today. But you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, we say thank you. To our family in China, Sheshe. India, Zanyaba. Japan, Arigato. Korea, Kamsanida. Russia, Spasiba. Germany, Danke. Poland, Dziękuję. France, Merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, medasi. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, geret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur. Saudi Arabia, shukran. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and God's blessings.